Beloved, Christ is risen. In hearing the opening of this gospel today, we find something that seems to be common to us humans from generation to generation. That is to look at something bad that happens to somebody else and wonder, what did they do to deserve this? That's exactly what the apostles were thinking when they see this man born blind. Was it his sin, they're saying to Jesus? The sin of his parents, that he's born unable to see? And Jesus tells the apostles and us, that's not how this works at all. That's not the question to ask. Because anything, any suffering, any pain, any cross that comes upon us means that God's hand is upon us. Not in punishment, but he is upon us and close to us for reasons that he knows and we may never know why this visitation happens. But Jesus explains to his disciples that this man is born blind so that God's glory may be revealed in him, the man. And it's helpful for us to turn back one chapter in this Gospel of St. John, to chapter 8, where some Jews are disputing with Jesus about where he comes from, who he is. And he tells them that Abraham longed to see his day, the father in faith of all of Judaism, and even our father in faith, Abraham. And Jesus says, and not only did he long to see his day, but he did see it. Jesus is saying that Abraham had a vision that God gave to him to see that it was Abraham's descendant, this person, Jesus Christ, who is the Savior, the Son of God incarnate for us. And Jesus is saying that it is Abraham, given a grace by God, a vision to see that it is Jesus Christ who would be the one to come and deliver us from sin and from death. And then Jesus makes a striking statement near the very end of that chapter 8, before we begin chapter 9 in this gospel today. He says, before Abraham was, I am. And if you look in English scripture books, it's written in capital letters, I am. This is significant because when Moses came to the burning bush and God revealed himself to him in that bush that burned but was not consumed, Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And the voice from the bush said, I am, sends you. That God, Christ, is the one speaking to Moses in the burning bush. And Jesus is saying, this person, this God you read of in your scriptures, who says, I am to Moses in the burning bush, who delivers you through the Red Sea, who brings you to this promised land, Jesus says, I am the one. I am the God you have worshiped through all of the ages from his revelation to you. I am the one. And we mark this on our icons. You see around Christ's halo, the three Greek letters. In English, you'll see it as I am. It's he who is. That those letters identify Jesus Christ as the God who spoke to the Israelites, who visited Moses, and the one who created Adam and Eve. He says all these things to those who came to him, and they didn't believe. And so we come to this chapter of John's gospel, where Jesus moves beyond his words of revealing himself to the Jews, but by deeds he shows that he is the one who is, the one who created Adam. Because how did he create Adam? From the clay of the earth. And Jesus makes clay to complete his creation in this blind man and puts clay on his eyes as the creator and restores to him, not even restores, but gives him sight, which he never had. He completes his creation in this one man through clay, showing that he is the one who fashioned Adam from the dust of the earth, the one who reveals himself to the nation of Israel and reveals himself continually to us. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who is our God, who is Christ Jesus, who reveals the Father to us and sends upon us from the Father the Holy Spirit, who constantly is revealing himself to us, particularly in our worship and in receiving him as food in his body and blood, which we will receive today. And as he fashioned clay for that man to give him sight, so he wants to mold us too, to fashion us. To fashion us and continue to fashion us more and more after his own likeness, if we are but willing to allow him to do so. Because he will not do anything for us that we do not want him to do. He will not ever impose himself on us. But he wishes to fashion our innermost heart after himself. And this we do allow him to do by remaining close to him, by daily calling upon the name of Jesus in prayer, in the Jesus prayer, by coming to worship here. We can't expect to be close to God if we don't come to worship him. And not only come to worship him here, but to receive him into us so that he can work his mercy and his grace within us upon our hearts. In order to fashion candles, wax has to be soft. It needs to be warmed up and poured into the mold to be fashioned. If the wax is cold, we can do nothing with it. It's hardened, we can't put a wick in it, you can't do anything with it. And that's how it is with us and God. If we're close to the divine fire, then our hearts are softened. And we may not even know it, but he is fashioning us. He is working on our heart, stamping us more and more with his image. But if we keep ourselves away from him, then yes, our heart will harden. And he cannot work on it. He cannot fashion us more and more according to his image and to likeness. Let us have our hearts softened by coming before him daily in prayer, in reading the lives of the saints, in coming above all here to worship, so that we can be molded by Christ, fashioned after him who fashioned us in his own image, and be refashioned from our sins, our failings, fashioned into the beauty of his image, in the glory of his face, that we may live in him, and he may live fully in us.